The International Space Apps Challenge is an international collaboration between government agencies, organisations, academic institutions and citizens from around the world. The idea was to have teams of three or four computer programmers write software applications for use on computers, smartphones or portable tablets. Participants were able to choose between 50 unique challenges. One of these included making information about renewable energy available to the public. Another was called Aligning the Stars and required the software engineers to design an application to use imagery from the International Space Station. In Australia, participants were located in Melbourne, Canberra and Adelaide. The Melbourne event was held at the Victorian Space Science Education Centre in Strathmore. The space show was there to catch the action. We also engaged the services of Edward Pollitt from Sydney Community Radio Station 2SER to cover the Canberra part of the event. He spoke with NASA representative Sean Herron at the Mount Stromlo Observatory.
So we kind of originated the Space Apps Challenge idea about a year and a half ago, actually in San Francisco at a hotel when we were, our team of about four people was gathered together and we were talking about the hackathon movement that we've seen kind of evolving, in particular in the U.S., but also abroad, and how, you know, there were definitely kind of two different areas in which companies and organizations were using hackathons. One was kind of as a public outreach mechanism. But then also kind of as a mechanism for looking for really good talent to bring into their own organization. And we had previously been involved in a movement called ROC, Random Hacks of Kindness, which was a hackathon focused on kind of developing solutions for social good in the developing world. So a lot of disaster recovery, disaster relief type applications that were helping, you know, the UN, USAID, the World Bank, in a lot of the regions they were operating in. And, you know, we were involved in that for a while, and we kind of saw that that kind of stood alone and that it was a hackathon really meant not for the benefit of the organizers, but for the benefit of the people. Hmm. And, you know, we got thinking that, you know, NASA has an incredible collection of data. We're collecting 27 terabytes per day of data about, you know, the Earth, the solar system, and the universe. Just a massive, massive, massive amount of information.
Crikey.
And we thought, you know, a lot of that data is collected. It's made available online. It's publicly accessible, but it's not used that often by people outside of the scientific community.
Hmm.
And what if you gave, you know, this massive community of hackers and developers who were out there wanting to be part of movements type like this and kind of gave them the opportunity to work with that data, to work with subject matter experts in that data, and have some time to, you know, use it to develop solutions that both were applicable for space exploration, but also here on Earth. Mm. So we kind of came up with the idea of the Space Ops Challenge, and we had the first one last April, April 19th and 20th. We had about 2,000 participants in 25 cities around the world on all seven continents, and we saw about 100 different solutions come out of that. Everything from, you know, taking NASA exoplanet information and putting it into a nice API that, you know, web developers could query, to people creating applications that helped farmers in rural South America determine the best crop to plant on their land based on the water type, the soil density, things like that from our Earth observing mission. So just a huge gamut of projects that were created. And, you know, kind of as soon as the challenge ended last year, there was just a massive demand to do it again.
Yeah.
And so we started planning almost immediately after for Space Ops Challenge 2013. And this year we have over 9,000 participants in 83 cities around the world. So it's grown quite a bit, but it's really exciting to see, you know, how it's progressed so far over the weekend. Right now we have about 600 active projects being worked on. So just a massive, massive, massive kind of mass collaboration. And it's just been fantastic to see.
I understand that we've broken a record with this hackathon.
Yes. Yeah, so this is now the world's largest hackathon, the known galaxy's largest hackathon, if you will.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the previous kind of biggest hackathon we saw was around 6,000 people in 30 cities.
Mm.
And so this is, you know, about 3,000 people more than that and more than double the amount of locations.
Terrific. So far, have you heard or seen of something that's exciting you?
So I'm going to be partial to the challenge that I wrote. Which was, you know, I'm very interested in mapping. and kind of geodata products. And I think it's been incredible to see how there's this, been this open source community around OpenStreetMaps and Leaflet and OpenLayers and all these projects being created to kind of provide mapping solutions for the web. So people who, you know, want to embed maps on their website, who want to do visualizations of geodata. And, you know, if you know anything about how mapping on computers works, is that the actual map is consisted of what they call tiles. And each tile is a unique image that's, you know, a certain latitude and longitude of the map. And normally you can find, you know, a few different sets of tiles. Most of them are kind of just map, you know, like animated maps like you would see on Google Maps. But then there's also kind of satellite imagery on some of them. But there's not a lot of diversity in those types of map tiles. One of the things that NASA has is, you know, about half of our missions aren't looking into space. They're looking back here on Earth. And they're all capturing incredible imagery. And so the Earth Tiles Challenge that I wrote was to see, what if we could take some of this imagery, the Landsat imagery, the MODIS imagery, that's recording a whole bunch of different information about the Earth's surface, everything that are, you know, like temperature maps, heat maps, topography maps, as well as this visible light images from different periods of time. What if we could take those and make those available as tiles you could use on web maps so that people could make really easy visualizations of geodata on top of NASA as well as international partner imagery on there without having to do a lot of work to actually understand the raw data, but rather just kind of plug in and say, here's the link to include all these tiles in my map. And so I'm kind of partial to that one just because I think it provides a real opportunity for people in the future to create really amazing visualizations off of NASA's geodata.
Terrific. Of course, this weekend, there's only 48 hours, well, in total. So we're basically working on proof of concept ideas. From last year's SpaceX Challenge, how many of those ideas do you know actually came to fruition and are now in usage?
Yeah, so, you know, I think, first of all, I think for the SpaceX Challenge, it's really meant to kind of be a Kickstarter to a lot of these projects. And so, you know, the idea is that, you know, a participant who comes can put as much or as little work into it as they want to. Some people are doing incredibly simple, small projects, and they can finish the entire thing in 48 hours.
Yeah.
Last year, we had a guy in London, I believe, who actually ended up doing 6 different projects during the hackathon, and I think he just stayed up the entire time and worked and made, you know, all these incredible projects. So, you know, it really can depend on how much work people want to put into it. But the idea behind the Space App Challenge is that it provides an opportunity to create a community of people who are passionate about this sort of thing. And so going forward, they can actually carry the work, you know, beyond the weekend and continue to work on it. And last year, we saw a number of kind of open source projects come out of the Space Apps Challenge that have, you know, continued to work. The project I referred to earlier that was working with the rural farmers in Latin America, that's called the Pineapple Project.
Pineapple Project.
And that has actually had dozens of participants over the past year continue to develop it. I think they're actually working on it again this weekend. And so it's been really amazing to see, you know, in that particular project, just how much momentum has carried forward as part of it. And people have actually applied for grants and gotten grant funding to continue working on it. It's been turned into research papers. A lot of nonprofit organizations have expressed interest in funding it for their own work, things like that. So that has kind of developed into its own, you know, ecosystem of projects. Other projects that we had last year were actually adopted by NASA. And so NASA actually took some of the projects that we saw and brought it into our own workflow as projects, you know, we're using officially at the agency.
Right.
So it's, you know, it definitely depends. And obviously, you know, some projects, they exist during the weekend, they act as a really great proof of concept, but there's not enough momentum to carry them forward. And that's okay, because with every type of, you know, event like this, you're going to have some projects that get a lot of momentum and some that don't. And, you know, it's really about capturing all of those ideas. So that going forward in the future, if someone wants to do something like that, we can point them and say, hey, there's a project that was worked on at Space Apps Challenge 2013. They maybe did, you know, a few lines of code, found some data sets would be useful. They weren't able to finish it, but maybe this is a good starting base for your project in the future.
I see. So nothing ever truly gets lost.
Correct.
If you could tell me a little bit about the Canberra base, this is the, I understand, the head site for Australia.
Correct.
What is it that brought you particularly here?
So I think there's a few reasons as to why I came up to Canberra. The biggest, I think, is, you know, our team is fairly small. We're only 4 people. And we wanted to make sure that we distributed ourselves around the globe, both in terms of, so that way we're distributed evenly on time zones, so that someone's always kind of awake during the event so that we can answer questions. If there's, you know, some sort of emergency, like the website goes down, you know, there's someone on call to try and get that fixed. But also because we think it's really important to get out to events, both large and small, and be part of the community. So, I mean, last year I was at the events in Nairobi where they had around 200 participants. So just a massive, massive, massive event. And that was amazing to see because, you know, you're there in a city that doesn't have a particularly strong tech presence and faces a lot of challenges that one would think that people would kind of put space exploration aside for.
Yeah.
But it was just amazing to see how much excitement and participation that we had just around our data and around using, you know, space data to help solve problems that are really relevant to people in Kenya. And so that was amazing to see. But it's been equally amazing to see how, you know, at a smaller event like we have in Canberra, how, you know, you get people coming together and actually forming a really tight-knit team in a small amount of time to create a project. And so it's been great to, you know, be here as well as connect with people in Melbourne and Brisbane, Adelaide, just to kind of, you know, create a really kind of small but tight-knit community of people who can kind of carry this type of work forward into the future. So, you know, definitely kind of being out there in the community is an important part of this. I also, you know, we have worked with Naomi Mathers, the Canberra organizer, as well as the Australia Regional League quite a bit in the past. And we know that she has always put forth, you know, kind of really, really amazing events. And I think that being in Australia provides a unique opportunity because, you know, there is a fairly small but fairly active space community here of people who are interested in this and that who are very excited to be part of these types of events. So we think that, you know, the Australia community here is really powerful and one that we want to help support and kind of, you know, ensure is part of the Space Ops Challenge experience.
Can you tell me a little bit about when you're back at NASA? Where do you work?
So I work at NASA headquarters in Washington, D.C. So, you know, in my role as a technology strategist, I primarily am responsible for helping to ensure that NASA's data and open source code that's in the public realm is used kind of by developers, by academics, by designers, by all these different communities to kind of accelerate its value. You know, we think that NASA's data is an amazing resource. You know, petabytes upon petabytes upon petabytes of data. And a lot of it, you know, is used for its scientific purpose and then put online and stored somewhere. It's on a hard drive. And, you know, we think that that data has value, but that value isn't realized until it's used for something. You know, it's like if you had an incredible library with, you know, millions of books on it, but the doors were never opened. What use does a library provide? You know, you have to have that data being used, being accessed, being analyzed to kind of have a continuing value carry forward. And so, you know, I view my role as kind of being someone who can help connect people who are interested in working with NASA's data, but maybe don't know where to start looking, don't know what data they really need, don't understand how to, you know, decipher it, and helping those communities, you know, carry it forward. And so that's, you know, it's very multifaceted. Part of it is kind of the policy side of things, ensuring that our release processes, our export, you know, processes, our, you know, intellectual property review is streamlined so that people inside the agency don't have massive barriers of entry to releasing their information. But also on the public side, making sure that we're doing as much as we can to make that data available in open, accessible formats, as well as doing kind of, you know, engagement around the data. So events like the Space Ops Challenge, where we actually kind of go out to the community, offer everything we have, and work to engage, you know, participants in using it. So I view it very much as both internally focused as well as externally focused, because in particular, when you talk about, you know, NASA's data, it's so much of a huge community of people, both in terms of data generation and data usage. There's a lot of opportunity, I think, to realize more value out of the data that hasn't quite been tapped yet. And so we're trying to do more of that and kind of, you know, spread the value of our research around the world.
Mm. Just one final question.
Yeah.
As it exists at the moment, where can someone go?
Yeah, so we have a number of resources available for people, both during the Space Ops Challenge, but as well as, you know, in general, if they want to work with NASA data. So I think the first, obviously, is spaceappschallenge.org, which has an incredible index of all the challenges that we've created. So the kind of challenge statements of different areas people should look at, you know, that might be a potential area to do some work in. And all of those challenges are very well documented. They have backup, you know, data and research materials behind them that you can link to and access, as well as, you know, a lot of good discussions and collaborations of people who have already tried to solve them. So that's a great resource. In terms of kind of more hardcore resources, we have data.nasa.gov, which is NASA's data, basically, index. One of the things about NASA is we have so much data, we don't know the data that we have. Right. And so indexing and searching through and filtering that data is a massive challenge. Because it's not like you can just say, you know, I want to query all data about the ocean, because there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of missions that have looked at the ocean. And, you know, it's, you know, what ocean are you trying to find out information about? What information about the ocean do you want? What mission, you know, how old is the data? So there's so many different variables in there. It's really difficult to kind of create one system to make all of it accessible. And so we have dozens upon dozens upon dozens of systems used to access data in different formats and ways. There's, you know, the planetary data system, which is looking at planetary data, the Earth observation system, which is looking at Earth science data, all these different systems. And so for people coming into NASA, it was kind of a strange experience because you're like, I want to access data, but I don't know where to go find the data that I need. And so data.nasa.gov was created to basically be an index and a resource of all these different data systems. So you could type in, I want to find out information about, you know, planets in the solar system. And it will show you all the different kind of search engines and resources we have available to find out information about that subject. So that's a great resource if you're looking to, you know, just play around with some raw data. Download, you know, some XML files of data, play around with it, create something. We also have code.nasa.gov, which is an index of basically all of NASA's open source software. So a lot of that resides on GitHub. So we have a GitHub account at github.com/NASA, but that's not all of our code. We also have code in SourceForge as well as on our own servers. So code.nasa.gov provides an index of all of the open source software NASA has created and released to the public. We have dozens and dozens and dozens of software that we've released and made available. Everything from trajectory creation software. So if you're launching a satellite, you can use this piece of software to say this is how fast and what angle you should launch it at, to things like the drivers for the mission control displays that are all open sourced.
Incredible.
So there's an incredible resource of software you can kind of use if you're trying to do something with our data. There's a lot of software that you can use to kind of, you know, jumpstart your project with. Finally, we have open.nasa.gov. And OpenNASA is basically our kind of community blog that we have open to any NASA employee. So anyone at the agency can actually write a blog on OpenNASA. And it's a great collection of communities and resources for people who are kind of in this mindset of how they want to do business and kind of the collaborative participatory mindset of how our team is trying to put forth. And so there's an amazing collection of stories and case studies and other kind of resources available on that website for people who are interested but maybe don't quite know where they want to go or what they want to do. There's a lot of really good examples and highlights of amazing work being done both inside NASA as well as in the greater community.
Well, thanks very much, Sean.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure to meet you.
You as well.
We thank Edward Pollitt for that interview with NASA coordinator Sean Herron of NASA headquarters in Washington, D.C. The conversation occurred at Mount Stromlo Observatory in Canberra. The Victorian teams for competing in the NASA Space Apps Challenge met in Strathmore at the Victorian Space Science Education Centre. The event coordinator was Cynthia Chen. Peter Arwood had this chat with her as the competition began.
This is Peter Arwood, and I'm at the Victorian Space Science Education Centre, and I'm joined by Cynthia Chen. Welcome to the Space Show, Cynthia.
Thanks, Peter. So, I guess to briefly introduce myself, I'm Cynthia Chen. I'm a current undergraduate student at Monash, studying aerospace engineering and arts with a double language major in Chinese. So we'll see where the world takes me there. So we're here today at the Victorian Space Science Education Centre for the NASA International Space Apps Challenge, which is basically an initiative created by NASA to get the world together and to bring together a community of coders and hackers and graphic designers, programmers, web developers, software engineers, and students and just enthusiasts. So to bring them all together in a global scenario where they have been issued 50-odd challenges to choose from. And the main focus that NASA has placed on this is to focus on developing applications that will enable people to be more aware about the world of space. So particular focus is placed on sustainability. So there are a number of challenges that participants can partake regarding how we can live on Earth more sustainably using space data that is available to us, such as satellite data, Earth observation data, images that they catch from satellites. There's also a focus on the safety of the planet. One of our teams here at the Victorian Space Science Education Centre is working on a challenge called Catch a Meteor. So the objective of that is to educate everyone about near-Earth objects. They're actually orbiting quite close to Earth at times, and with the recent meteor shower in Russia, it just really brings to light that these things do happen all of a sudden, and if we're not prepared for it and if we don't understand the implications, then you know, it could end up quite disastrous, which is unfortunate for us. So they're working on an application to help us visualise where these meteors are, and how we can sort of plan if they do enter the Earth's surface. And they're also putting in information in this application for us to be able to identify what the meteor is, how big it is, how close it's flying to us, or how close it's orbiting to us. And as a result, hopefully, it'll educate us more about the science behind meteors, what they are, what happens when they enter the Earth's atmosphere, and how we can work together to sort of develop strategies and technology to maybe someday deflect or move the meteor safely away from us so it doesn't hit us and hurt us in any way.
That sounds like some pretty good application. Okay, so NASA has set this up, and I think you mentioned that they've created 50-odd different subjects or tasks or mm-hmm. challenges, and so the students or the people that are participating, is it only open to students? Is it open to anybody?
It's open to anybody. So okay. I personally don't have a background in coding or programming. It's all beyond me. But I'm more than happy to have a chat with anyone to discuss any ideas and basically give them the perspective from a layperson's point of view, giving them pointers on how they can sort of maybe add a little feature in their application that'll be pretty cool and easy to sell. And educational tools is also very important. So as a current student, I'm very interested in how we can make learning more interesting and more interactive. So sometimes I can just duck into the teams and check out what they're doing and offer some pointers regarding, you know, why don't you add a little feature that lets them see a picture instead of all these texts? Right. So that might be interesting.
So the challenge is this weekend globally?
Yep.
And
so
we're at VSEC, and there's a number of other sites in Australia that are participating.
That's right. So the flagship, the main event in Australia is in Canberra at Mount Stromlo. With it's the Australian National University. We've also got an event at the Queensland University of Technology up in Brisbane, as well as with the Hackerspace in Adelaide. So we've got four events in Australia in total, and there are over 100 partners in this global event, with over 8,000 participants globally who will be joining us across the world. Just because of where we are, Australia did kick off the event a few hours before most people were out of bed. So later in the day, we're hoping to receive more information and feedback from people across the globe.
Okay, so the event is 2 days. At the end of the 2 days, tomorrow afternoon, the products or the students present what they've done and they're judged. How does that work?
Yep. So this challenge goes for the 2 days, and we've set off a deadline for them to submit by sort of late afternoon. Each location has their own judging panel, so each local judging panel will judge their respective teams. There will also be a national judging panel. At the end of our day, so 5 o'clock tomorrow, we'll also be discussing four finalists from Australia who we will then present to the global challenge. And then from there, they get granted exposure to an international, variety of participants who all get to upload their challenges and their results. And then participants are also welcome to finalise and refine their applications and upload it to whichever programming or marketplace that they wish. So a few of our participants are actually working on Android applications, so they're more than welcome to then upload their applications onto the Android marketplace for people to download and use. And we've also got a couple of people working on iOS-based applications that they can then upload onto the Apple Store.
Right, so NASA doesn't own these applications once they're completed. They're just simply fostering the development of them, and it sounds like the students or the...
That's right. So NASA has facilitated this environment, and we've helped organise the events locally, and we've We've organised this global community that they can communicate over the internet. In fact, we've also got virtual participants, so people working from home or from school or from work, just quietly behind their bosses' backs, working on these codes and collaborating with people from all over the world. And one beautiful thing about this is a few of our teams have put up their hands and said, look, I need a graphic designer, and someone from Queensland, for example, will say, I've got skills in graphic design, I can give you a hand. And we're hoping that more and more people will put up their hand and eventually help each other as we are joined by more people across the world.
But 2 days sounds like a pretty short amount of time to develop something from scratch and have it finished. Do teams have stuff already produced, or will they continue on working on it tonight and overnight and into tomorrow? How does it sort of work? Does it have to be finished, fully functional by the end of the competition or the judging time tomorrow?
So, we do hope that they will have something at least refined and functioning by the end of tomorrow, so that they're able to present it to the judging panel and to all other participants to be able to give a live demonstration. If not live, then at least a mock demonstration, just so we are able to see how the application should be functioning and what its purpose is and its little refined aspects and those sorts of things. So it's up to the contestants whether they would like to continue on throughout the night. I know it's part of a sort of lifestyle to stay up and drink lots of coffee and not sleep just to get the code done, just to get it working. The beauty of this event is we've had a number of people walk in and they didn't know any of the other participants. They were open to any particular challenge. They weren't focused on doing any particular task. And they've come in, they've got a number of skills under their belt, and they're more than happy to sort of wander around and help our other teams or to just form a new team then and there on site and then start programming and developing ideas. And hopefully they'll be able to work really hard throughout the day and make something by the end of tomorrow.
Okay, so we've got about 15 to 20 people out there today. It looks like they've sort of formed themselves up into groups of three or four.
Mm-hmm.
How many years has this challenge been running? This is the second or third, is that correct?
So this is the second year that we've hosted the event
second
in
year?
Australia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And from the results from last year, how did Australia go last year?
So we had a number of really interesting projects come out from last year. One particular one that comes to mind is there was a strong focus on sustainability, and there is each year, considering where the planet is going in terms of its growth. So a particularly interesting application that one of our Australian teams developed was to focus on our carbon footprint. So they had developed an application that could measure distance travelled according to the mode of transport that would then let you compare how much of a carbon footprint you would be creating, for example, if you were driving to work versus if you were catching public transport or riding a bicycle. And that was very interesting in that it gave you visual data as well as something you could see on your phone regarding how you could change the way that you lived your life or how you even just went to work and how that could affect the overall health of the planet. Another interesting one took advantage of crowdsourcing, which is something that's becoming more and more popular these days, particularly with the power of social media. And so they developed an application that would register key hashtags regarding natural disasters and then plot them out onto a map, and we'd be able to visualise where a particular hashtag was trending. So, for example, when they gave a demonstration during their presentation, the hashtag that we used was earthquake. Now, there wasn't an earthquake happening in Melbourne, but because we continually kept testing the hashtag earthquake in Melbourne, the visualised data actually showed that there was potentially an earthquake happening in Melbourne. Now, if this information was to go to an official, of course, this particular instance, it would have been bad because it was just a test. But throughout the presentation, we actually noticed that a location somewhere else in the globe was actually experiencing an earthquake, and it was picking up this information from Twitter.
Wasn't caused by your app, was it?
No, not anyway. So So we hope to continue this focus on developing applications that enable the layperson to visualise and to understand and to really see the power that space applications have. And it's all in the power of smartphones these days, and almost everyone has a smartphone. So it's very easy to download an application, to use it, and to really use what the satellites up in space are giving us and the data that we've received from the technology that's been provided for us here on Earth from space.
Right, right. So tomorrow afternoon, I think you mentioned that they're going to be judged. So will only the VSEC people be judged and then the people in Adelaide be judged separately, or will they all present to each other and the committee will...
Yep, so hopefully we'll be making great use of our video conferencing network and connecting with the other sites to have a presentation throughout the nation so we can see what the other teams in the other states have worked on. And so we will have a local judging panel specifically for our local teams, and at the same time the judges from the other locations will also be taking a look at what our teams are working on here in Melbourne.
Okay. Well, sounds really interesting. Well, let's go and have a chat to some of the contestants or participants or and hackers.
Yeah,
and
hackers.
See what they work on.
Sure.
Thanks for joining us, Cynthia.
Thanks.
Bye.
Cynthia Chin explaining for The Space Show what the NASA Space Apps Challenge is. And we'll go meet those people after this message.
For local news and views and the greatest variety of music, this is Southern FM. 88.3.
You're listening to The Space Show with Andrew Rennie. On this evening's The Space Show, we are covering the Space Apps Challenge at the Victorian Space Science Education Centre. Peter Iward was able to drag some of the participants away from their computers for a chat.
And we're here at VSEC, and we are joined by...
Z.
And Z, why are you here? You're a part of the NASA Apps Challenge?
I am. I'm here because I'm interested in space exploration and I wanted to do something fun over the weekend.
Okay, so the NASA Apps Challenge, you're here, you're a software programmer, I believe?
Software engineer, yes.
Software engineer. So you're working on a project, one of the NASA projects you selected?
I am. The project is for displaying data about renewable energy resources here on planet Earth. And the idea is to make the information more presentable and useful.
Okay. So it's a space data, NASA data, or data from other sources?
It's actually a lot of government data. We're trying to pull as much as we can from the Bureau of Meteorology here in Australia.
Okay. And how are you working by yourself, or are you working with a team? Or?
No, we have a great team put together, a couple of students and another software professional like myself.
Okay, and what will the app, what application or what platform will be on it?
The platform we're trying to do is we're trying to make an Android app for your mobile phone, as well as a hosted by Google App Engine instance. The idea is that you can then look up this renewable energy information from anywhere you're located.
Right. So as a consumer of that app, what would I be looking for? How I can create renewable energy, or how much renewable energy am I using?
The idea is that you should be able to log in from the app from anywhere. It figures out where you are, and then it tells you what renewable energy resources are available to you in your community. For instance, what is the potential output of solar energy in your area based on weather patterns? What is the wind output based on the annualized wind speeds, and so on and so forth?
Right. So how are you going? It's only the first day. It's middle afternoon. Are you going to be ready by tomorrow afternoon?
We're certainly excited, and we're getting off to a great start. And once we work out a few of the technical kinks, I think we'll be good to go. It's still early, but we're all working really hard.
So is it pizza and cola all night for you guys, or what?
We haven't thought about food yet. It's still too early.
All right. Well, look, good luck with that. We'll probably check with you again tomorrow, and hope it all goes well for you. Thanks for joining us on the Space Show.
Thank you very much.
And we're here at VSEC, and we are joined by two more competitors in the NASA Space Apps Challenge. Gents, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Guillaume Prebaud. I'm a software engineer from France, working today on Meteor Tracker application for Android.
Okay.
And I'm Nicolas Aubry from France as well, so software engineer student for now at the RMIT, and I'm going to help Guillaume with his application.
Right. So what the application do exactly?
Well, it's basically a map of the night sky, showing all the stars and objects in sky. And the aim of the application is to let user observing the sky at night record the observation of meteors or shooting stars with time, magnitude, and all the different information about what they are observing, so that they can keep them and keep track of them, and also share with other people to have more like statistical data.
Okay, so do you enter the information when you see something, or is it use the camera on the phone, or how does it work?
You will have like an interactive map. So if you are pointing your phone in one direction, you have a display on the screen the different stars, so you can see which part of the sky corresponds to what you're observing. And if you see a shooting star, you type, you tap on your screen where you saw it, and you add a few information about it.
Oh, okay.
And it saves this information.
Right. Okay.
And then you're gonna have your own collection of meteors or objects, and you're gonna be able to have some notification about you might be able to see that meteor tonight at that position in that direction. So you're gonna have like a collection, and you're gonna be able to share new objects that you just find with other users. So we're gonna have like a huge database of meteors and everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and also notifying people which night is a good night to go out and watch the sky.
Yes, because there's various meteor showers that come through the year and that sort of thing, and also when the moon's up. And
and now they can be kind of forecasted, so it is going to be part of this as well.
Right, so do you think they would have been using this app in Russia the other month? When
yeah, probably.
Maybe. Probably the last thing they would have been thinking about, right?
Go out today, you're going to see a huge one.
Yes.
Okay, guys, so you just started today on the app. How are you going? Is it making good progress?
Yeah,
just the beginning, but it's already we've got some good basics.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
it's on the way. We're confident for
this. So two days enough for something like this?
Oh, we're probably going to walk the whole night.
Yeah.
We get used to it. Back in France, in our school, we used to have that kind of project. Like, they give you a subject Friday night, and you have to finish it before the Sunday. So it's almost the same thing, and we used to do that. So
yeah, we're gonna kind of used to pull all-nighters to finish projects.
Yeah, we're gonna grab some pizza and some Red Bull and and get ready for the night.
It's all part of the job description for computer programming, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us on the Space Show. Look, good luck. Have fun.
Thank you very much.
Talk to you again tomorrow.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
And we're joined on the Space Show by Maru.
Yeah,
Maru.
Maru Maya.
Okay, nice to meet you. You're here at the NASA Space Apps Challenge here at VSEC.
Yeah.
Could you tell us what you're working on and your background of yourself as well, please?
Okay, what I'm working on is a big question, because I'm just wandering around and see what other people are working on.
Okay. So what are your skills? Are you hoping to join a team or just...
Well, I don't fit quite well with the skills of other people. My background is it's kind of hybrid. It's come from medical imaging and biochemistry and microscope imaging. It's pretty much imaging.
Mm-hmm.
Imaging, I've got a computer science background, but it's very far away. It's mostly medical imaging.
Okay.
CT, MRI, electron microscope, and developing, just denoising the images and developing 3D models of them, and segmenting, registering, and simulations of surgical operations.
Oh, right. Wow. Well, obviously, the way I understand it, NASA has set 50 or so different challenges that people can select from. Is there one that you think might be of interest to you, or you're aiming or hoping to join another team that's working on something?
With my background, I didn't find anyone specific with my background, but so I'm happy to watch around what people are watching.
To see what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. So you have some friends or colleagues that are working on an app today?
No.
No. Okay.
I heard this on the internet and just I was curious because actually I was talking like a few months ago with a professor from the States. John Sadat. Is the one that he made like very powerful microscope, they called steam structure illumination microscope, and we were having a chat. And he was saying that most of the images from the microscope are very close to the one that they got from telescope.
Oh, really?
And they actually was working on this thing.
So there's a bit of synergy between the two.
Yeah, and they say that it's a very clever guy. This guy is married to a Nobel Prize. And yeah, it was like, it's very interesting. It was a very interesting talk. And yeah, so I was wondering what is going on, if there is some overlaps with things I'm doing and things that you guys are doing. So sure. Not really into the deep programming things.
Right. Okay.
Just the application for mobile. I don't know where to start, actually.
Fantastic. Yeah, very good.
That's it. I like the idea. So people are all committed.
It's good to see people using imagination and things. Yeah.
Using imagination, it's just kind of lost.
Terrific. Well, enjoy it.
And enjoy.
We'll talk to you again probably later in the weekend or something if you're still around. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Cheers. And we're here at VSEC and we're joined by Andre. Welcome, Andre, to the Space Show. What are you doing here at NASA Space Apps Challenge?
I'm trying to extend Spot the Station website functionality. I'm not quite sure yet what I'm going to implement, but there are lots of information I can use, like live stream from the space station, the location, the stream of data about experiments currently performed on the station, and I'd like to put everything in one place to be able to explore
this information. Right. Okay. So you're a computer programmer or a student or?
Yes, I graduated Moscow Institute of Physics and Technology 13 years ago, and last 13 years I work as a software engineer, programmer. Yeah.
Right. So, are you working on an Android app or an iOS or something else? What do you?
It's probably a web-based application.
Web-based. Okay.
So yeah. Desktop or mobile device.
Okay. All right. So, how's it going? You've just started it this morning, or
just started? I started late, so probably just an hour ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're working solo? You've got a team or a couple of other people you're working with? Or
there is a team in Manila, I think. I'm not sure where they are at this point. I'll try to contact them, but here in Melbourne, probably solo.
Okay. Yeah, because I think that there's facilities to link up with other locations. I know they've got Queensland and Canberra and Adelaide coming on, but I'm not sure whether they're planning to link up with the Philippines, but have a chat with them, might be able to put it together. Well, look, good luck. Hope you have fun and hope you get something good out for tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Cheers.
Thank you.
Participants in the NASA Space Apps Challenge. More after this message.
Online all the time. 88.3 Southern FM.
This is the Space Show at the Victorian Space Science Education Centre in Strathmore. One of the groups that helped organise the Space Apps Challenge was the Australian Youth Aerospace Association.
And this is Peter Aylward here at the Victorian Space Science Education Centre. I'm joined by Louis. Louis, welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you, Peter. I'm Louis and I am the Aero Design Chair for AYAA. AYAA stands for Australian Youth Aerospace Association. So we're an organisation which tries to promote aerospace industry in Australia, particularly to the younger generation. We typically involve students, both high school and university students, and give them exposure to the aerospace industry. We run lots of different activities, programs, which try to give students insights into this industry and try to connect them to industry people. The two major events that we run, one is Aerospace Futures, which is a conference targeted at university students to let them learn about what the industry is about, where they can go, and where the future holds. For high school students, we have Aerospace Forums. This is an activity that's run at the moment at Melbourne and Brisbane, and that tries to introduce high school students to the aerospace industry and what it entails and where it leads to for future.
Okay, probably a lot of people in Australia aren't even aware that we've got an aerospace industry. You think aerospace and you think, well, everyone goes off to America and works for Boeing. Tell me about the aerospace industry in Australia. How big is it?
Aerospace industry is actually fairly vibrant. We have a fair few companies that do have bases in Australia. For example, Boeing has a manufacturing facility here at Fisherman's Bend. We also have many different companies, both local and international, that are based here. Particularly of note is Gibbs Aerospace, which is a local Australian aircraft manufacturer. They actually have their manufacturing base down in Gippsland.
What sort of aircraft do they build?
They typically build your smaller aircraft, such as your local commuter aircraft, recreational aircraft, and I think also some farming related aircraft as well.
Right. Okay. So, do you have? You obviously have links and associations with the industry groups. Do they come and try to recruit the best students, or do they? How does that all work?
Okay. We try to encourage interaction between the student body and the industry. So that's why we organise the futures, the forums, where we invite speakers from the industry to come talk to the students and give the students opportunity to ask questions to the industry representatives to get the flow of information going to encourage that interaction.
Right, okay. And so you're part of the NASA Space Apps Challenge, but we're here on this weekend. You're part of that, or you're helping to organise that, is that?
Yes. AYAA is a part of this Apps Challenge. So I've come down here to help out with the organisation and the running of this event.
Okay. And what do you think so far? Is this your first one you run?
Yes, this
yourself?
Is the first one I've been to, actually.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's going on fairly well, and we see nice interaction between everyone here.
Sure. And so you're a student yourself, or are you a graduate now? Or?
Yes, I'm a PhD candidate at the moment at Monash University.
Okay. In what's your
PhD? Engineering.
In engineering? Okay.
Yes.
And what ambitions, what are you hoping to move into? I guess aerospace?
Yes, exactly. I hope to move into sort of a research development role at some point, but I think that's a fair bit into the future.
Right. Okay. Well, look, thanks for joining us on the Space Show. It's so far, I'm really impressed with what we've seen and look forward to seeing the results tomorrow afternoon from the various teams that are working on it. And thanks for joining us on the Space Show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That was Peter Arwood at the Victorian Space Science Education Centre. Late in the afternoon of the second day of competition, it was time for the contestants to leave their computers and, via video conferencing, to describe their application to the other contestants and judging committees around Australia. First up, from Victoria, was Zi Huao, who we heard earlier in this evening's program.
So the idea we came up with was, originally it was going to be like a sort of a game sort of thing with an augmented reality part to it. But what we ended up doing is going with sort of a more cut-down solution, which was to harness the power of mobile phones, like their location data, and try and get information about the current location of that device and to see in what way at that current location could we possibly harness renewable energy. Say, for example, if given your current location and the current speed of the wind and the air density and all that stuff, how much power could you get from a, say, a wind turbine if it was at your current location? Just to sort of give people an idea of, you know, the, sort of a bit of an idea of how efficient renewable energy can be. Yeah, so because we had a limited set of data, well, we had data on the website, but that was mainly from the US. So what we wanted to do was localize it a bit. So we pulled in a lot of our data from the BOM and crunched some numbers to try and determine, you know, how much solar power you'd get for a particular area or how much wind power you get for a particular area. We also wanted to implement some geothermal stuff, but we couldn't really find a lot of data for that. So as the bottom says with the problems, some of the granularity of the data was quite low. So we could only really get data that was around, say, weather stations and stuff like that. And another problem was, say, the BOM has lots of data, but it's not very consistent, and some of the data formats aren't that great. So the feature, or some of the things we were talking about before we started, was that because the granularity of the data is so low, it would be good if, like, there was some device out there, say an Arduino device, for example, that people could, you know, carry around, or something that could be added to cell phones to sort of crowdsource some of the weather data across bits that aren't covered by weather stations and stuff like that. And another idea we discussed was trying to come up with sort of like an API or some sort of data aggregator that could pull in some of the BOM data and make it a bit simpler to process, so we could get some hopefully more useful or interesting data out of information out of the data that we're gathering. So we have a few screenshots of what we managed to come up with in the short time. So we created an Android application that gives you an idea of the kind of energy output you could expect to get from a given latitude or longitude. So here's the latitude and longitude of Darwin CBD, I guess. And you can see there's some data in there that says, so the current wind energy you could get given the environment, the situation of the environment around you, would be 754 kilowatt hours or so. Not totally accurate, but it was the best we could do given our knowledge and what we had on our hands.
Just one more thing to add. One of the problems we were trying to solve is the fact that the data, various data sources have various different granularities for the information they provide. So one of our challenges was, given your mobile location, how do we correlate the best amount of data we have for your geographical region? So that meant searching through various data sources with varying degrees of country, regional, municipality data, and pulling down the most fine-grained available information we have. And the other thing we considered was that perhaps part of the information we can provide to users is how little data there exists. So one of the first problems we tackled was why there was data for instance, a lot across North America, but not a lot of data for Australia, or not very accessible data. So one of the things is, if we can provide people with some information about, hey, here's some data that exists, but here are some gaps, maybe that can raise awareness so people are more informed and will demand that from their government officials as well. Oh, we also have the demo. It works.
The only other Victorian group to complete the Space Apps Challenge with a working application was led by Guillaume Prévost.
My name is Guillaume Prévost, and I developed the Catcher Meteor application with Nicolas Aubry. We decided to go for this project mostly because this is one of the fields where scientific organization cannot look at the sky 24/7 in every single direction at a time. So this is one of the areas where casual people can help research and science progress by watching the sky and reporting what they see. So the aim of this application is to help meteor observers around the world, whether they are beginners or experienced, help them watching the sky and reporting what they can see. So how did we do that? First of all, the application contains education and guides for the enthusiast observers, help to find the best time to go out and look at the sky, and also to assist users to report the meteors they can see and observe during the night. So the different features of the applications are, first of all, a calendar of the different meteor showers. So far, we gathered the data for this year, but there are different forecasts that go up to 10 years ahead.
The contestants in Canberra and Adelaide made similar presentations. The judges then retired to assess the entries. It was on the cusp of Sunday afternoon turning into Sunday evening before the winners were announced.
The judges from all the sites have come together and discussed the different challenges, solutions that they've put forward. We've got four challenges from across the four sites that are going forward to the international, I guess, competition, or are putting forward from Australia. So we've got the Moon Settler from Adelaide. We've got MERS from Adelaide. We've got Catch a Meteor from Melbourne. And the Why We Explore from Canberra.
Congratulations, everyone.
The winners of the Australian segment of the International NASA Space Apps Challenge. As the world rotated, similar decisions were being announced in the different time zones around the world. This Space Show special was recorded by Edward Pollitt, Peter Arwood and Andrew Rennie. We thank the Victorian Space Science Education Centre for their hospitality and Cynthia Chen for facilitating our visit.
Reaching into your community, the great Southern Sounds of Melbourne, 88.3 Southern FM.